Hey there. Welcome in to the Tree Fort, my friends. We are reviewing a timeless childhood classic. Was it funny?
Timeless. That's great.
It's timeless.
I have many points of view that will say it's not timeless, but we'll share those later.
Okay. It will never go old. Thank you for popping in today. With us today, we are doing Talk Movie to Me, Blank Check. A classic movie, a Disney, not an animated, a Disney human acted movie that we all know and love. So with me today in the Tree Fort, we've got the currently nasally, but always handsome, Stevie P. We have our friend of the movie knowledge, a friend of the sit-down chain restaurant knowledge, a general nice guy, an overall great guy, Royal Mills.
Hey guys.
And just a fantasy genius as well. I mean,
I knew you could not have been describing me.
No.
Yeah.
I definitely thought he was.
I stopped at fantasy genius. That was the dead giveaway.
Once he said generally nice guy, I'm like, I guarantee he's talking about Royal Mills.
Not talking about Joey Berry's. And then the guest that you just heard, who has been on such classics as Talk Movie to Me Heavyweights, what else were you in?
The Patriot.
I'm so glad I missed that one.
Wrong.
Yes. Talk Movie to Me, A League of Their Own. You also did The Dinner Draft. Joey Berry's with us back in the fort to talk about Blank Check. I want to start off. What I want to start off by saying, 1994. That kind of shocked me. Did you think it was earlier or later? Like, I don't know why. For some reason, I was thinking it was like 92, 93, but 94.
That's so funny that you say that, because I honestly thought 96, 97. And when I saw 1994, I'm like, oh, that's a fucking awesome movie year. And we can go over all the movies later. But I definitely thought it was more when I was like 9, 10, not 5 or 6.
Great year for movies, for sure.
Yeah.
So, I think that was Home Alone year.
94.
I think Home Alone was 92.
Yeah, it was prior. It had Shawshank Redemption, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally have a list of all of the movies that, like, the bangers. Do you want to do it now, or you want to save it for later?
We'll save it. I know Forrest Gump. But yeah, so 1994, that was a bit of a shock to me. But this movie, if we do a movie in a minute, or let me fill you up with this movie, whatever you want to call it. The movie's main character, Preston Waters, he's a 11-year-old kid. He's a man about town, a boy about town. He's living at home with his parents, you know, as 11-year-olds do, with his older brothers who just constantly pick on him. And he wants a better life. He's got that American dream. So he goes with a birthday check from his grandma for $11, takes that check to the bank, tries to deposit it, get an account open. They won't do it. He gets his bike run over by a gangster. What would you say his crime was? Because that was kind of...
We'll come are we back saying the Quigley's?
Put a pin in that. Quigley's, yeah. Put a pin in that.
Yeah, finish it up first. We can talk about that later.
So the guy backs out, hits his bike, is like, oh my God, writes a check quick, doesn't put an amount in the check. This is like every 11, 12-year-old's dream, even 37-year-old's dream. But
he's literally receiving a blank check.
Blank check from just a guy that runs over his bike. Goes home, puts $1 million in it, goes back, cashes the check for some shenanigans. They give him the money. And then he's just a 11-year-old kid with $1 million running around town. And then the bad guys try to get their money back. And we will talk about all of the shenanigans that ensue. But great movie, hour and a half long. Disney movie. Tone Loke is in it.
It does fly by.
It did. It really did. I watched it just a bit ago to get refreshed. There's a lot that I visually don't remember. And Joey, I think you said it best. I've seen it a bunch, but at least probably 25 years ago was like the last time I saw it. So there's like a lot of stuff that, like, I was texting Mark, I'm like, or Royal Mills, that I was like, I don't remember that. Or like, what was happening here? And they're like, oh yeah, okay. So crazy trip down memory lane, a little deja vu for us. So initial reactions, Royal Mills, you are a huge Disney 90s guy. You know, Mighty Ducks, Heavyweights, Angels in the Outfield. Obviously, Blank Check's going to be right in your wheelhouse there. Talk to me about watching this today versus when you were a young boy, a young lad, and some of those feelings that came back.
Well, I could definitely tell you that the fantasy of always having that opportunity of having $1 million as a kid was amazing. And as an adult, it's not nearly as exciting because it's not enough to live off of, and I know it. So, that
house probably costs what, like $5 million today, at least.
Oh yeah,
that's what I texted him was. I'm disgusted that at first Quigley's like trying to buy it for $150K. It's like that's how much my house was. <That's>, and I do not live in a mansion.
$1 million gets you like a 1,500 square foot house in California.
He won it for 300, right?
Right.
300,000.
But that's, I did bring
still
up
a less than my house now. And I'm like, that's like six times the house.
I brought up a good response to that to him earlier, though, that keep in mind, they are stationed and based out of Indiana in the movie.
This is true. Yes.
So Indiana living is a lot different than California living.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. Cost of property values in Indiana, a little bit different. Yeah. So,
why are there random castle mansions in Indiana?
Yeah.
Like, that thing is legitimately a castle.
Yeah. I'm just taking over.
Montana.
In fact, in Indianapolis, there is a bar called The Castle that I know people play darts out of, and they stream out of it all the time. I'm almost curious now if the places are connected, so I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, write that down.
You guys ever been to the Cell Block in Williamsport, Pennsylvania? The house kind of reminds me of that bar.
I have not been there.
Oh, $25 beer night. That's the time to go. I'm sorry, 25 cents. That'd be really expensive.
I was going to say, Jesus Christ.
That inflation is just...
The inflation is soaked into my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I can write that off on my taxes. No thanks. That's
that price gauging she's talking about. But, Joey, like, you've been to the Cell Block in Williamsport. Have you been to the Long John Silver's in Williamsport? Because that place is just phenomenal. Let me tell you.
Doing fast food fish chains. It's just unbelievable.
Name another one. You can't.
Fuck Long John's.
Fuck you. Which actually brings me to a point. I want to give a special shout out to our dear friends, Hillary, Abby, and Natalia, who listened to the last podcast, allegedly, and said that we didn't give them a shout out, but that's because they only listened to the first 5 minutes. So here, within the first couple minutes, shout out to those three. So now they can't say we didn't shout them out, right, Joe John?
Yeah, shout out to them, especially Abby.
Show them attention, damn it.
Yeah, right? Gosh. Anyway, so back to Blank Check. The absolute adrenaline rush of receiving a blank check straddles the absolute anxiety for me of making sure that I actually put an amount in that box and wrote it. I'm deathly afraid of giving somebody a blank check on accident. Does anybody else experience that?
I absolutely do. And I never started using checks until I married my wife, because I never, like, I was always cash and credit cards. I never used checks or never wrote checks at all. And she, like, literally coached me on how to write a check so that, like, you put a line past your name, you put a line past the amount that you put down so that nobody could forge it or nobody could add on a zero or whatever like that. I guess I was just aloof on that side of things, but now I do it every time because I am a little bit anxious that, you know, check fraud could happen to me.
Well, Lynn Mapleview is just one of the
most neurotic women you'll find. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, one of the most financially sound individuals. just rock solid when it comes to.
Can I tell you a secret?
Financial planning. Yes.
So on Saturday, she had a meeting with the executor to the will of her great uncle. Okay. She was just inherited a fantastically large sum of money.
Damn.
Yes. And I've never met the guy. I don't think she's met the guy either, but it's one of those stories. The rich uncle dies and you get a check.
Is it a blank check?
It is not a blank check. There's an actual physical number on that.
It's pretty close to the blank check.
But it's nice.
There you go. Perfect.
Congratulations, brother.
We're buying go-karts. We're buying video game systems. We're going to go.
I can afford an eighth of a house now. All right.
We're going to go pick up Shay. It's going to be perfect.
I thought you were going to say strippers and cocaine. Pastime.
Yes. But yeah. So, I mean, watching this movie as an adult, I never realized as a kid that from the word or from the start of the movie, it's just the dad's like, well, you know, the rule, he who has the gold makes the rules. And it's like, you're an adult, you have a job. Like, the kid's 11. Of course he's struggling to get by. He's got a little piggy bank. The brothers steal the bank. And it's like, just everything is like, so financial, and it's wild. Like,
it's the yuppie culture just permeating through Disney and this movie, really, and just shoving it down our throats. But I think that's like what they're trying to say is like the downfall of this greed mentality and the yuppie mentality. I think like how it permeated through the 80s and then sort of like the 90s was the hangover of it, because like you get to the end of the movie and you realize the kid spent all of the money in 6 days. And he's got nothing to show for it. And he basically just wants his regular life back. And I think that's really the point of the movie, is that like, you think that you get all this money and it's everything you want, but then you lose things along the way and it's immaterial.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
I mean, nobody's experiencing that more than me. I'm sitting here, an absolute millionaire, and the only friend I have is my limo driver. It's nuts. I don't know.
I think they also kind of point that out at the very beginning of the movie too, with the song that's playing over was
that's what I
like
want.
Everything I want is free, or something like that. Everything I need is free.
Yeah,
that's what I want. You know what I'm talking about?
The best things in life are free. You can get them from the birds and the bees. I want money. That's what I want.
But just that line itself kind of hits at what I felt was the whole point of the movie was, you know, all the money in the world isn't going to really give you what you need or what you want.
Okay. Sure as shit is not going to buy the affection of your father, who still, I think, by the end is probably coming just a yuppie bastard himself.
See, I think the opposite. I think it shows that $1 million isn't going to get you by 6 days.
He should have wrote that check for like $6 million and then really took in it.
2 weeks is a good amount of fun.
There you go. I mean,
well, that's also what the dad told the kid is he told him to save and invest for the future. And the kid, what did he do? He spent. And if you're going to spend all your money on giant boxing gloves and race cars and cookers and hookers and cocaine, it's going to be gone soon.
See, but what the dad fails to realize is, you know, taxation of unrealized capital gains. And then that just defeats the whole purpose of investing all the money. So, I mean, we're really at a crossroads here, right?
Yeah. I think
it's because the father doesn't have that financial foresight to see, you know, this is where we're heading with this.
I don't think the dad has the wherewithal to know that he's talking to his 11-year-old son.
I'm literally just fucking with him.
He's a Reaganomics kind of guy. I don't know what to tell you.
It's all right, Joey Bears.
I think the dad's just cheap and hates the fact that he has three boys that he has to give money to. So he just takes it out on the youngest one.
When he writes the check for $11, I'm like, you cheap bastard.
Yeah. Grandma can open it.
How much did you get last year? 10? 11.
Inflation. My kid's got a very bad grip on inflation.
That was a character flaw for me for the kid too, where it's like he had this very mature sense of financial planning. He's like, I want to buy a house, which typically is a good purchase. It should offer you some form of net worth.
Right. Well, buy real estate, real estate purchases.
He's ahead of the times. He's 11, but he's thinking financially like an adult. Like, I want something. I want to invest in a house. I want to be independent. He's looking up interest rates and the principal amount on his checking account to see how long it'll take to get $1 million. Like, seems like a pretty smart kid.
No, he's a student. It was probably beaten into him by his overbearing father, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
we didn't see what the previous 11 years of his life were, but talking about interest rates and mortgage costs and ADP percentages, all that crap. His father probably beat into him and hey, maybe that was just tough love.
You know what? I still don't know half that stuff. So good for that kid.
They got a calculator online for everything. You don't need to know that. That's
very true. They do. But his behavior is probably just in spite of his father. I thought it was just a character flaw. But if you dig deep, you could be like, he did all that because he has daddy issues.
It was obvious that the dad favored the other two, and he made it pretty obvious about it and well known.
Because they're out there earning money at hand and foot in industries or whatever. Like, what are they doing?
Giving out hand, foot, and mouth.
Yeah. Like, hand and foot jobs? Gross.
What were they doing? Were they washing cars?
I don't know.
Like, I think it was a manual labor business, right? It's just an opportunity to get a few bucks and save up. That was like the dad's business model. Stuff.
I think it's sexploitation.
Would it surprise me with how this freaking movie went?
Yeah. Disney has a track record for that, for sure.
But not hand and foot, I guess.
The brothers were cleaning the go-karts and like wiping them down and washing them and stuff when he was... They were working for him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of Preston here. And you're 11. I mean, we were saying, like, you know, he's buying the house and he's doing this and doing that. I mean, what would you... When you're 11, I mean, what are you trying to buy with that? Royal, I know your answer to this. I think I do.
Are we talking now as an adult or as a kid?
I think take both. Do both.
The
I think it's really interesting, the contrast, what you would think it would be.
The Green Ranger dagger?
You nailed it.
If you're 11 and you have, if you have just a large sum of money, I know exactly what you're buying. Yeah. And it's the Green Ranger dagger. And
the one item that slipped away.
And brother, I don't blame you. I mean, you can do a lot with that. You can summon the Dragon Zord, play a nice little tune.
Save the planet.
Save the planet, yeah. Yeah. Turn into the White Ranger. There you go.
I'm gonna buy a partial stake of the Buffalo Bills. It'll get me 0.1% approximately, but I'll still get to share in some of the profits. Enjoy hopefully a couple of Super Bowls. But back when I was like 7 years old, this movie came out.
Yeah.
You know, hey, $1 million money got me half the team back then. So
I would have bought exactly what that kid bought. Just, like,
as an adult, though, I didn't give you my answer what I would have got now.
Oh, yeah.
I figured that was for both ages.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Because I there's more cooler toys now.
So you're a toy guy for both ages.
Not toys and like an adult toy.
Big double-sided dildo guy. All right. Yeah.
No, it would be in a golf simulator.
Like a dope one. You can get those pretty cheap now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I want a legit nice one.
Yeah. That'd be sick. Like a bit like create your own ultimate man cave for like, you know, $250,000.
Yeah.
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 With, and that would become an introvert.
Is that an introvert or are you just a happy man?
I would not want to leave my house.
I have no need.
Are you still an introvert though? Because like, I'm assuming you build this dope ass man cave with a golf simulator in there. You're going to invite your buddies over, right? So if you're inviting your buddies over, are you still an introvert?
When I want them to come over.
Okay.
You'd definitely be a homebody.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Isn't that what we're all trying to do though? Like,
yes.
Move as little as possible. Yes.
That's like the new American dream, right? A lot of acres, no neighbors.
Let's go.
Yeah, I just want to do whatever I want and not have to answer to anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. But, all right, so the movie, now, help me fill in the front, the start of the movie.
Hold on. I want to answer this question first.
We never got Stevie on this.
Yeah, I gotta tell you what I would buy.
Go ahead.
As a kid, I probably would have bought a dirt bike trail and a lot of dirt bikes for me and my friends.
As turn it into a business or just pleasure?
Oh, hell no. That's just for me and my friends.
Yeah. I would have been your friend too then. So I'm definitely going to be there.
Yep. And as an adult, I would probably invest that into an apartment complex out in Raleigh.
Damn.
I like the investment. As an adult, you got to you got to think long term. I love that. Yep. And that's the difference between youth and us adults. Where you're living in the now as a youth. You're willing to spend half your money on a mansion and TVs and go-karts and all that shit. But then you realize, hey, guess what? When my wife is presented with that check from her uncle, I'm not going to buy a jet ski or a boat. I'm going to pay off my car, pay off some of the mortgage. That's what we do now. That it's so sad, but that's what we do.
Let's be honest though for a minute and just understand that like the easy answer is always going to be, oh, put it in an IRA or some crazy like investment type of thing. Mm-hmm. What materialistic things would you guys do? That's the real question.
What would I purchase as an adult?
Like if you
want
a kid, like
I want a sick ass boat.
That kid bought a bunch of materialistic things. What materialistic things would you guys have got?
With $1 million check right now.
I want a bunch of little things. I want to bring back rollerblading because this is a 1994 movie. I want to bring that back. I want some dope ass golf clubs. I want a boat. I don't want, you know, all stuff that adds up to $1 million.
Yeah, I would double down on the boat. I would definitely get a boat. Me and my wife talk about it all the time.
And probably a house on the lake too, right? If you're gonna get a boat, get a house on the lake.
Well, I live on the coast, on the ocean.
There you go.
So I don't even need to do that. The rest of it, I'd probably invest it into a Lexus LFA.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Love that car. But I definitely would love a Raptor Bronco.
Yeah. And then a Cybertruck, and I'm happy.
Now, if you get a Bronco, would you, like, every time you're driving it, just think that you're, like, O.J. Simpson down the freeway in L.A.?
Oh, like, no, the Raptor Bronco is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah?
It's insane. Bronco? You should look it up. It's pretty crazy.
The Raptor Bronco?
Yeah.
So they combined the truck and the Bronco?
It's a twin-turboed six-cylinder Bronco with, like, full rally suspension.
96K?
It gets.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen the movie Brewster's Millions?
I have. Have I? I don't think
it's so. Richard Pryor, John Candy. It's kind of a similar situation that we've got here. Basically, he's inherited $30 million or $300 million, but the stipulation is you have to spend $30 million in 30 days without showing any possessions. It's a great movie, but it basically goes through very similarly like Blank Check does, where the guy has to spend all this money, and then at the end of it, he's just so sick of spending and all that that like he's done with money. It's just it's meaningless to him now.
Oh, hell no. I'm cutting one fat $30 million check to a children's hospital.
One stipulation in the movies, you could not give it away.
You had to spend it without.
I would drop it outside.
Material. Yeah, watch the movie. It's a classic 80s movie. It's so good.
Would going to a restaurant paying for everyone's meal count?
Hey, there you go. That's a great idea.
That counts 30.
I'd be like, hey, it's on me.
Hey, that's like $100,000 right here. Bam.
Yep. And then strip club after, same deal. Hey, everything, it's on me. Quick way. What if it gets robbed?
Or just build a hospital.
If I did that in Rochester and I went to a strip club, I said, hey, it's on me. I'm getting jumped as soon as I walk outside.
Mm. Well, yeah, the Rochester titty bars, of course you are.
Yeah. The barrel.
I think I'll build a hospital.
The Cracker Barrel of Dolls.
The Cracker Barrel of Dolls.
Build a hospital. That's a smart move. I don't know if the 30 mil might be too low for a hospital.
Back then.
Oh, back then. Mm. Yeah, you can do it for 30 mil probably.
That's real fast.
Phil, what are some of the other categories you got here, buddy?
Yeah. So one thing I definitely wanted to spend some time on is, the movie itself, the characters that are in it. I want to do the actors, what else are they in for sure? But one that we have done in the past that people do tend to talk about and enjoy is the what character do you relate to the most? What character do you like the most and why? Royal, being that you've got this movie, mentally down, who do you identify with in the movie?
Ooh. I'll say the dad sometimes.
James Redhorn.
Yeah, the reason why is sometimes I forget that my daughter's young and can't work. And yeah. I'm like, hey, that costs some money. And you don't have that kind of money. And I remind her.
Yeah.
And now I think about it, like, that's kind of like the dad. And now I hate to even admit that, but
yeah.
Well, I'm going to be a realist on it.
I totally get that. My son the other day we got an iPad, like a legit iPad, and he's running around with it outside, which he knows he shouldn't do. It drops down the ground, cracks the screen. So I had to have the whole financial conversation with him about it. And it's like, sometimes they're just, what's that?
He's five.
I understand that, but he made the mistake of doing what he knew he should not do. And sometimes you come down on your kids a little bit too hard when you just got to realize that they're kids and they make, you know, stupid mistakes. And you think that, you know, it's like, I'm out an iPad. He doesn't really understand that. I have to have a conversation with him about this costs money and you need to be punished for it. But, you know, you're sort of just stuck at that point. It's tough trying to teach kids responsibility. I think that's what Roy Mills is getting at.
Yes. You hope that the natural consequences will teach them, but it never works that way.
Now, James, because you broke this iPad, we can't buy as many groceries. So now the whole family suffers because of your mistake. Do you understand that?
Now I have to buy an Amazon Fire tablet on a low and replace you with that iPad.
Like a poor family.
You know that ice cream you get every night, buddy? It's not for another fucking year.
You can't afford it.
Do you like when Dunda says he loves you? Because that's not happening anymore, kiddo. Not when you do shit like this.
Son, I love you, but right now I hate you.
No, I always tell my kid because they have a... It's an Amazon tablet, and they abuse that thing when it's not working how they want it to. And I let them. I say, hey, please, go ahead and break it, because you're not getting another one. And then they're like, oh, that's right. And then they usually stop. At least the oldest. When he gets mad, he'll like jump on
the booger picking from last time. The Fire tablet. The Fire tablet all makes sense now.
Yeah,
he was knuckle deep, dude.
He was itching that brain.
Digging for gold.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I'm glad, Joey, that you're having the same discussion that the father in this movie would have had with his son, Preston.
I see a lot of James Redhorn in myself, yes.
No. So, with that being said, Joey, who do you identify with?
I guess I didn't really feel like I related to James Redhorn, the dad. Until Royal Mills said that, but I want to shine some light on the limo driver, because that guy is awesome. He's sort of like the comic relief of this movie. His name's Rick DeCamon, and I never knew that. He's in a bunch of movies that
We're gonna talk about it.
Do you not want me to do that now?
Not right now, no.
All right. So anyway, but I mean, I don't know. He's sort of just like the goofball of the movie, but he does have a lot of.
It's very wise.
He is.
He was so wise. He knew the whole time Macintosh was him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I was just gonna say that.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he's basically the sort of like the father figure that Preston's father wasn't.
Put your tiny hand in mine.
Yeah, I think personality wise, I'm more like the limo driver than the dad. So that's who I'll go with.
Okay.
How about you?
Myself?
Karen Duffy.
No.
Juice.
The aged like I'm milk, definitely bro.
I'm definitely a lot of people rely on me to go do the dirty work, to pick up the money. When I show up, they're like, I don't have the money. And then I'm like, you better get the money. That's me. I'm Juice.
No, thanks. Not thirsty.
That's what I was going to say.
Tell him the eagle has landed.
Juice, he had me hooked when he's walking down the hallway to get the cash, and he sees the cleaning lady, and he's like, he's checking out the cheeks.
Yeah.
And then the kid bumps in. He's like, hey, man, you don't just come in here and ruin a view like that.
Yeah. He has a lot of great, like, very quiet lines in the movie.
My daughter
at that part actually stopped me and was like, did people really act like that back then? And I'm like, believe it or not, they did.
He's the token black guy in the movie. Like, that's what he's cast for. Like,
yeah. I love, so this is probably one of the hardest laughs I had at the movie. But when I forgot about it, and you don't think about it when you're until you're an adult, but they're like, when they push him down the slide, it's like, you can't push a black man into the pool. oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I think my Disney favorite one liner
had no filter.
Yeah.
My favorite one liner I remember is when that Shay girl was at the dinner with the boy, and she's like, so is Macintosh an entrepreneur? And he goes, no, he's American. I died inside for a good 10 minutes and I just couldn't get grasp on reality for that whole time, just laughing.
We talked about this when we were doing the talk movie to me for A League of Their Own. Like, there's so many lines in that movie that we didn't get as kids, but got now, like the clap and, you know, other things. But like, that was one thing I never got that joke until when I watched it as an older adult, the entrepreneur American thing.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. When they're at the, when he's talking to him about going on the date, and like, it's not all you can eat at the restaurant. You put the baggies in your pocket. Anthony says that literally all the time.
I think about that every single time I go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. I want to put chicken wings in my pocket and save them for later.
Yeah, exactly. So
chicks are impressed by hot wings.
Hot wings. It's a good piece of life advice there for anybody listening.
You can put salad in there.
Stevie, what about you? Who do you relate to?
Juice. Yeah, I meant it when I said that's what I was going to say. Just classic tropes.
Yeah,
I feel like could the movie have been done without him? Yeah, probably. But
no,
I think so.
The diversity quota would be way off if there was.
But I feel like he is such a sprinkle of adult humor for me.
Yeah,
and his seriously unserious attitude. Just screams Stevie P.
So if we take Juice and then go into the category of what other movies are these people in, let's see if I know, Joe, I know you know, but Stevie and Royal, what else is Juice in?
Fern Gully.
Yeah. What else physically is he in?
I'll leave it to you, John.
The music group?
What?
No, so Juice. Juice is the actor Tone Loke. He is a rapper. Yeah. What other movies is he in?
Is he in The Mat? No, it's not The Mask. He's in a Jim Carrey movie.
It is. Yes. It's not The Mask, but you're right. It's
Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
He's the other Ace. Cop. Ace Ventura. Yep.
I don't know why I was thinking The Mask.
You were on the right track, yeah. Tone Loke. Was that 90? That was 93, right?
That was 94. So funny. I'm going to ruin your game here. But yes, it was 94. Both movies were 94. Tone Loke was in this, Blank Check, and Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He's also in two other movies that you guys should know.
Fern Gully.
Two more? Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to Google it.
He's in Heat. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last one is Surf Ninjas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the cop. That's right.
Yeah.
The agent.
What a classic.
Brothers
what don't a classic surf. Forgotten movie.
Brothers Don't Surf.
I got to say, I was talking to my wife yesterday because I was homesick all day just watching movies, sleeping, and I was telling her, like, they don't make movies like they used to.
No, absolutely not.
They really don't. Like, early 90s movies will be MCU aside.
Let me age us real fast.
Yeah.
I remember going to Kmart as a kid, and Surf Ninjas was on sale on VHS and Betamax at the time. And I don't even know if most people know what Betamax is, but that was basically like the mini VHS.
Well, Royal, you, me, and Joey are the same age. So
no, I'm not talking about on our group or listeners.
Oh, okay.
But, do y'all remember who the token white guy was in Surf Ninjas?
Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider.
Little ginger Rob Schneider.
Yeah, right? Doesn't even look like him.
My favorite part of that whole movie is when Tone Loc goes up behind him and puts a headband on him. Or no, not the Tone Loc. It was the uncle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He takes a bandana and tightens it on his head. He just like pulls the tightest knots and you could like see him getting whiplash from it.
All right, so we got Tone Loc. Biederman. What other movie is Biederman in?
Ooh.
Do you want me to answer?
Richie Rich?
Is it Richie Rich? That's not what I'm thinking of.
Wait, Biederman's the banker, right?
The banker, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he's an elf?
Yes, elf is what I'm thinking of.
He is also in a movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie called Barton Fink, which is really, really good.
Totoro.
With Totoro, yep. And then he's also, any Entourage fans? I think we've been over this before. I think you guys don't watch Entourage or didn't watch Entourage.
No.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a dude.
But he is such a classic. Like, he's been in a lot of, like, weird things. So, like, I think he's got, like, 200 credits, his name. So you could see him anywhere, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right, the guy from Blank Check or the guy from Elf.
Yeah. All right, so the dad is pissing me off.
Great. I said I relate to him, so that's awesome.
No, I mean, I know
his name is his name is James Radborn.
He's in something. He's a dad in that, and I'm stuck.
I'll let everybody else. I mean, you guys like recognize James Radborn from anything else?
I do. I'm just trying to put it together in my head.
And oh, I think I know what Preston is in as well, but I want to hold on. I think I know two things he's in, but I want to hold on to that.
I don't think I know anything he's in.
You wouldn't know the one. I'm pretty sure he's Alexander in Star Trek The Next Generation. What? Say something.
All right, so he is in
Independence Day.
Yep. He's the Secretary of Defense in Independence Day, that's which right. was a talk movie to me, I believe, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. He was also in The Game. He was like the third lead in The Game. David Fincher movie with Michael Douglas and Sean Penn. Awesome movie. He was in Scent of a Woman. He's the asshole headmaster. He plays an asshole really well.
He was in My Cousin Vinny, too.
He was in My Cousin Vinny, yep.
What was he in that?
He was like a witness, I think.
He was the car witness.
Yeah, he was the car guy at the end.
That's a southern accent, not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was also in Cold Mountain there, Phil.
He was in Basic Instinct, too.
Was he in Cold Mountain?
I don't remember, but when I was confirming his IMDb, I saw that, so I thought I'd throw that in. I don't remember him in that movie.
I feel like he was in
Basic Instinct in 1992.
I feel like he's the typical fit of like every military personnel, NASA personnel, in any of those types of movies.
High, tight, hot haircut, lean.
Yeah. Probably could have been in like Armageddon.
Yeah.
Be in Cold Mountain.
Phil, we could take this offline. I don't know if we want to go down this road.
I just want to know the character.
So I'll do it quickly. So the limo driver. I don't know. Do you guys know anything he's in?
You don't know anything he's in?
I know like five movies he's in.
Oh, I've got two.
All right.
Two big ones.
Do it.
The Burbs and
Groundhog
Day.
Oh, yeah. Groundhog Day. I didn't have that one. Yep, that's right.
No, like the Groundhog Phil? Yeah, like the Groundhog Phil.
Have you guys seen The Burbs?
Yes.
I know, I'm talking about Romulus or CVP. That's a great movie with Tom Hanks back in like early 80s.
I talked about it with somebody before, but if I did watch it, I don't remember a lick.
I highly recommend. He was also in Die Hard.
I remember him from Last Action Hero.
Oh.
What? Oh. I don't remember that. All right. He was in Scary Movie, and he was in Encino Man.
Oh, he was a Scary Movie. He was the dad.
Yep.
The chick's dad.
Yeah, he gives her, like, what does he give her? He gives her heroin, and, like, say, you got to cut this with baking soda, not baking powder, because the baking powder guys will have little muffins growing under the nose.
Scary Movie is like the Weird Al Yankovic of cinema, and I love it.
I fucking love Scary Movie. It's so much.
The second one will always live in my mind when the opening scene of the priest taking the dump with the flies on his face.
Oh, yeah.
As an immature young teenage boy seeing that, so I hysterically laughed like a hyena in the theater.
I still to this day die at the mashed potato scene.
I'm a strong
what is that? What's that theory? It's like when people remember something completely incorrect, like Sinbad was in Kazam or something like that. What is that theory? Because it's not actually take my strong hand. He doesn't say that.
Grab my strong hand, isn't it?
No, it's just grab my hand. It's stronger, something like that. It's not grab my strong hand.
Mandela effect.
Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Yes. So you can look it up. He does not say take my strong hand, but everybody says it that way.
Huh. The mind sees.
What does he actually say?
It's like, just take my hand. Take my hand, it's stronger.
We got to get back on blank check.
There's no way.
I swear to God, I was on the golf course while I was talking to guys about this. They're like, no way, I'll bet you $10 it's not. I'm like, wasn't yes, it is. Wasn't Big Country.
Was he drunk?
I'm going to save this for a Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Yeah, the Mandela effect has nothing to do with Nelson Mandela. All right, so back to...
No, but he's part of it.
So... Talk to me about Shay, Gabe, Joey Barry.
So the last one. So Shay, interesting enough, because this came up, like I was thinking about this with Tone Loc. So Tone Loc was in this movie. Yeah. He's also in Ace Ventura, which came out the same year, 1994.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey movie. Shay, Karen Duffy, is also in a Jim Carrey movie in 1994 called Dumb and Dumber. Right, she's the female criminal, and she also plays a woman named Shay.
Oh,
which
I
thought was just the weirdest thing in the world. But anyway, I think we all had a crush on her, right?
She's hotter in Blank Check than she is in Dumb and Dumber.
Much hotter.
Yeah.
Well, in Dumb and Dumber, she was like an assassin.
Assassins can be hot, but she had like a hair pulled back. She had that really good like mid-90s mom haircut in Blank Check, and she great bone structure.
Impossible.
She is a pedophile, so we got to take that into consideration. But I do wonder how the Bureau is going to look upon her tactics when she finds out that during her investigation, she did kiss an 11-year-old boy.
Matter man.
He's a man now.
Yeah.
After that kiss, yeah. I think we'd all agree that if we were that 11-year-old boy, hell yeah, it's on.
My lips are sealed. I ain't telling a fucking soul.
I'm telling everybody.
No.
Yo, guess what I just did?
Hell no, because then there's no chance of more down the road.
Even it's like that. No, I wouldn't be planning on another one. I'd immediately call Boughton, and I'd be like, Phil.
You're like, no, you tell me. It was me, her, the limo. Oh.
Now, if Henry has slipped a secret out there, that's a different story.
Let everybody else do the dirty work.
TMZ it. Yeah.
Well, it's like that South Park episode where it's like, oh, nice. Oh, she's sleeping with him? What's the crime here? The crime is she's not doing it with me.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, highly problematic, especially with, as a Disney movie. I didn't think anything of it as a kid. I just thought she was hot. And I'm like, oh, this is like, this whole movie is like a 11-year-old's wet dream. But looking back at it now, I'm like, that is,
it's a 37.
That is a weird route.
Yeah.
I have serious concerns about how that bank was able to cash that check that was so easily forged. I don't well,
they
even
didn't
even,
they didn't
that.
Really cash it. He burnt it and just gave him cash.
Oh, yeah.
That's well, yeah, because if the whole thing wasn't set up by Quigley, like that would he would have gotten his money, obviously.
Yeah. That money was supposed to all be off the books.
His life savings.
So that was so supposed to go like, to juice.
His nest egg.
I'll pretend to cash it. I'm going to burn it.
Here's maybe an answerable question. If the handoff went off as it was supposed to, does Juice give Quigley the money?
Ooh.
No.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Nope.
I think so.
I think so.
Do we find Juice dead in a ditch a week later?
Nah, because it seems like they've been doing business like that for a long time already, so...
What is the... I'm confused as to Juice's role. Is he just, like, Quigley's aloof black friend that, like, hey, man...
Well, the way I understood it was that like they're in a money laundering scheme like that. I think that is what Quigley's crime was. Probably he killed a guy like along the way, and that might have been why he went to prison. But like Peterman was a partner with him in the money laundering scheme initially, and was it that Quigley went to jail basically for Peterman, and that like he didn't want to get back into it. Yada yada yada. And I'm assuming Juice probably was either a partner of his that he found in jail, or one of the other. I mean, because he doesn't know, Peterman and Juice don't know each other. So clearly they weren't part of that same group.
Right. Maybe they're childhood best friends, like Tyrese and Paul Walker were in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Very true.
It kind of seemed like that, right? Almost like they were bros and they trusted each other.
Maybe they grew up scamming.
Adopted others like Mark Wahlberg and Tyrese in
a little four brothers, huh?
Yeah, I love that movie. It's a great movie.
Here's a question.
Yeah,
how does that guy escape from prison? And the whole movie, there's not one police bulletin mentioned about a prisoner escaping, and he's just living freely, like he didn't escape. He's got a suit on, walking around, driving in his Jaguar, just really careless. Like, how is he not, like, in hiding, panicking every moment of his free time out there that he's like, gonna get caught?
Completely agree with you, but that's how the whole crux of this situation happened, was when he backed up over Preston's bike, the reason why he gave him a blank check instead of a check for, like, $200 was because he saw a cop car coming. So he sort of panicked, and when he signed the check, but then just gave him the check. And that's when Preston was able to...
But that's just, like, yeah, he's just trying to avoid the possibility of something getting brought up. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it wasn't like a, oh, all bulletins out, escape convict on the loose, you know?
But if that were to happen, the movie would suck, so...
And he's definitely like, he did some blue collar crimes. Like,
wait a minute, you're Macintosh?
You're probably right, Royal Mills, because like if he did kill someone, then escape convict for like that sort of issue would there'd be a huge manhunt.
They're on the run. Yeah. This dude definitely was fraud and got caught already. So he's just already a bad fraudster.
Yeah. True. Good point.
I also wonder, like, who pulls out of a parking spot as aggressively as he did?
Yeah.
Hey, they didn't have backup cameras.
He floored it, dude. I was like, damn. Like,
he was too busy finger pistoling himself in the rear view.
Yeah. How bad is that cop that he's like, the cop's like somewhat near there. There's a kid laying on the ground. There's a broken bike on the ground, and there's a car peeling out.
Terrible cops.
Bad cops.
Those terrible cops.
Can't trust them.
I feel like Stevie P was a butch. Were you a butch? Stealing checks and having awesome parties at amusement parks?
Give me $1,000.
Yeah.
Riding the ostrich.
Fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. No. As a kid, I was rebellious. I would do.
That's what I'm saying. You seem like a bush. You seem like.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Actually. Now that you point that out, yeah, he does.
I definitely, maybe it's because I grew up without a dad, but authority, rules I don't agree with, which is pretty much all of them. It was a bad combination. I was lucky that I didn't get caught doing a lot of what I did. but it taught me a lot, and I feel like it put me in a good position to help my kids.
Yeah.
Man, you got deep there.
Well, if that wasn't the purpose of this movie, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
My kids are going to know what a 401k is by the time they're eight.
Five or is out of the house.
He's Lucian's already talking to me about stonks, bro.
Yeah.
There was a couple different lessons learned from that movie, though, because there was also a couple times they brought up once you lose everything, you find out who your friends are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
at one point, he thought that Henry guy was leaving him. And then at the end, he showed back up, showing like he was his real friend and stuff like that. And his parents were like good parents stuff. So outside of the, you know, pissing away money and then nothing to show for it, definitely there's a couple other things to take from it too.
Yeah,
agreed.
And then what a CUNT was that party planner.
Oh yeah,
just trying to rip the guy off. And hey, you can't pay in full. She decides, hey, the party's over, everyone's out, fuck you, this is my party.
And then somebody snatched her wig.
Yeah,
I love the
get out of here, Yvonne.
I love the
that's a French ass name, Yvonne.
She don't even have that accent for real.
My little croissant.
I love the, like, oh, she's probably just a gold digger because she's hanging around. And then the whole time I'm like, now I'm not saying she's a gold digger, but she's not messing with a 11-year-old who just spontaneously found himself in a very good financial situation.
Yeah, she's either a gold digger or a pedophile. It's really... Which one are you going with?
Or fed. So,
I don't know.
She threw a curveball at the end that really saved her reputation. That's for sure.
Oh, also, she did a terrible job also because of the fact that that kid was technically the one scamming everybody, and they let that dude take the fall for it, and they believed him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're Macintosh, sure, okay.
That kid's walking around like, I just scammed everybody and got away with it. Like,
but like,
now technically, did he scam anybody? He was given a blank check. That's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
he just filled it out.
Oh, right. Yeah, but he bought all that stuff under a false person.
For cash.
He created a fake person and then bought all these things with stolen, laundered money. He's pretty bad, dude.
Yes, but the stolen laundered money was given to him. He had no understanding that it was stolen or laundered.
Boyle, so if somebody gives you a $100 bill and you go buy something and then it turns out that it's counterfeit, do you get arrested?
Yeah, I was in possession of it.
But you didn't know.
Doesn't matter. Possession's 9/10 of the law.
In New York it is, anyway.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
I agree with it?
Royal's 100% right.
You didn't know.
Legally, I have no idea, guys. But it's a Disney movie, and what are they going to... You're going to end a Disney movie by putting the kid in the back of the squad car?
Yeah.
We're going to do a 10-year later checkup on Preston here. He's still in lockup.
Law and Order SVU episode.
No, if we did that, he'd be a heroin addict.
Shay's behind bars.
He actually, did you guys know he got into some trouble, some domestic violence stuff, some drug possessions? He did not grow up to be a great
typical Preston. Hollywood.
So was he Alexander in Star Trek The Next Generation?
I have no idea. He wasn't family ties, though.
Okay.
I'll look it up while you guys chit chat a little.
Somebody
tell me he doesn't grow up and does it again in another form.
Does what again?
Finds a way to launder money.
Steals $1 million.
Like he's just like, I got away with it.
We should do
I a can do it again.
Sequel.
Blank debit card?
Blank check two.
Blank Venmo.
Yeah.
No, he is not in that Star Trek.
No
reference. Nope. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now I do want to talk like this movie is basically like kind of it's like Home Alone, but this version of it. And I feel like a lot of movies were trying to do that because like when did Home Alone come out? I think it was like 90, maybe 91. And then like it was so successful that like Disney was trying to recreate the success of it in like different forms. Obviously with like Macaulay Culkin and like Richie Rich. And this is like just literally another form of it where he's got money, he's got a big house, and then there's this ending sequence where the bad guys get theirs through all of the different sabotages and booby traps that he sets up, and it's just like it's so ridiculous that these
how can we replicate Home Alone and like, all right, you know, maybe the parents aren't out of town, they're across the street, all right, yeah, okay,
sure.
Which the fact that like as a parent, I don't know how I'll feel when my kid's 11 years old, but like, I'm probably going to wonder where he's spending all of his time.
He's spending all of his time with an inexcusable, unexcused. Nobody's met this middle-aged man named Macintosh that if they just looked at their computer, they would have figured out.
None of them knew how to even connect the computer or put it together or start it. Remember?
Yeah, but he knew how to load it up, pull up an AI,
but they're
print
like,
a check.
They're like, yeah, he's hanging out with that 45-year-old guy across the street.
Disney checked all the boxes on every possible hole that could have came up in that story.
Every bad thing that could have happened to this kid. But like,
It's all copy paste. Like, put a kid in an adult's shoes.
Yeah.
Little rascals.
Action. Yeah. And action. Let's just see how it goes. And Home Alone, it struck gold. Like that was it was a fantastic movie.
But did you guys ever see the Family Guy a take on like if Home Alone, it's Home Alone but with competent criminals.
Yeah.
Where like they literally just walk in, they're like, oh, watch out for all those cars on the floor. Oh, wow, that could have been bad if I stepped on those. And then Kevin's at the top of the stairs saying, ha, 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 I got you guys. And then the robbers take out their gun and shoot him. It's just like they could have captured this kid so easily, but they get beaten with big boxing gloves and, like, first-person VRs. Like, it's so absurdly ridiculous. If these were just competent criminals, they could have...
Let's go on record and say he also tried to commit murder, too, because... That one guy was in the ball, and he purposely, after the guy was already dizzy, tried to drown him by knocking the ball into the pool intentionally.
How did he get out of it?
Science.
I don't know.
He tried.
It's attempted murder. Science. It absolutely is attempted murder.
He knew what he was doing. He saw the opportunity, and he's like, boom, 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 boom. He went for it. So this kid's no saint, okay? He's a low-key murderer and launderer.
You could say self-defense a little bit.
And
Kevin McAllister was premeditated. This guy was sort of just defending himself.
Yeah.
True. He also may not have been thinking about, oh, he could drown. He is only a kid.
He locked that guy in that metal ball. The guy was sitting there in the ball, locked in it, and he drove that go-kart into it to knock it in the pool.
While the dude was locked inside. I'm going to trap this guy. Not, I will kill this guy.
Oh, he trapped him in a pool of water.
Yeah. And then it's like, hey, he died. It's like, oh, shit. Whoops.
All right. Any other categories before we wrap this up?
I did want to, it's not a category, but like we talked about at the top of this how 1994 was such an
Yeah.
incredible movie year. And if you would permit me, give me 45 seconds to list off all of the movies. Awesome. I'm not gonna do all of them, all the awesome movies from 94. The Shawshank Redemption. This is not an awesome movie, but The Crow, Pulp Fiction, Forrest Gump, Leon the Professional, The Lion King, Interview with a Vampire. I know one of Philip Broughton's favorites. The Little Rascals, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, True Lies, Natural Born Killers, Ace Ventura, Speed, Street. Well, actually, that's not a great one. Four Weddings and a Funeral, Angels in the Outfield, Clerks,
Little Big League.
Naked Gun 33 and a Third, Little Big League, Reality Bites, where do we go? The Jungle Book, D2, The Mighty Ducks, Little
Banger.
Giants, Airheads. This goes on and on and on. There's more here. Camp Nowhere, Richie Rich. There's a bunch in here. The Santa Claus. Like,
Imagine going to an award ceremony with all those movies on deck.
yeah.
Just bangers.
Yeah,
So
we're not way
I think
through
that
it.
like this movie is in it's kind of in its like it's in like that perfect realm, and Royal Nose is gonna love this because you're the same age as Phil and I. But like this was like peak kid
Oh,
movie
yeah.
year, movie time, like 93 to 97 was like peak for us. What
I'd say
other
the whole
live
90s.
action kids movies would you put on like the Mount Rushmore of live action kids movies from this era?
Little Giants, for sure.
Okay.
Sandlot.
Yeah.
That was
Nice.
what I was going to say. Sandlot is a must have.
I think
Rookie of the
Heavyweights
Year.
has to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
Angels in the Outfield, Cool Runnings,
Is
Cool
that a kids
Runnings.
movie, though? It's a Disney movie, but is it a kids movie?
Oh, I watched that movie a lot when I was a kid.
No, I did too, but it's not like centered around kids, I guess is what I'm saying.
True, true.
A Disney
Oh,
hero.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Classic. Right, that was 90.
Just bring me back to my parents' divorce, why don't you? Thanks. I'm gonna cry
Teenage
now.
Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Seeker of
Did
the
your dad
Deepest
dress up like a woman just to clean the house, spend time with you?
No, that was just on Friday nights.
Secret of the Ooze is definitely up there.
Secret of the
Yeah.
Ooze was such a banger.
Homeward Bound, right? That
Homeward
was early 90s. I
Bound.
think that made me cry as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Shadow and
But we
Bim.
got to think of Mount Rushmore's like peak
Yeah.
here. We're
So
just
what do we
kind of
have? What are
rattling them.
the definites? I think
Sandlot.
Sandlot's in there.
Oh,
Heavyweights.
don't.
Heavyweights for me, Heavyweights, D2. Hold please.
It's tough.
Are you gonna put Angels in the
What's
Outfield
the
in there, man? Or
Angels
Phil?
in the Outfield? Yeah, Angels in the
Would you put
Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield in over like Rookie of the Year and Little Big League?
Little Big League, yes. Rookie of the Year.
No, but over Angels in the Outfield.
I think Angels and Rookie of the Year are better than Little Big League.
Wow.
I
Got
would honestly, yeah, I mean, I would actually, yeah, I'd probably have to put Rookie of the Year because my fantasy baseball team name is Chet Stedman. So
it. Love it.
I'm gonna throw one in there. We talked about surf ninjas, but how about three ninjas?
Yes, I love Three
The
Ninjas.
first two are great.
Yes. Well, you're talking about the original, right? The first Three Ninjas.
The second one's where they go to Japan, right?
Yep.
Some
Yeah.
theaters. Great
I
movie.
also want to throw out this just because like this was like the cool thing back in the 90s was like rollerblading and surfing.
Break.
Airborne.
Oh, Airborne.
Airborne
Oh,
was up
yeah.
there. I don't think I ever saw that, but I
Young
remember
Seth
the.
Green when he
Yeah.
was a ginger. Jack Black when he was young.
Is that before he was drinking Jaeger in Vegas?
Yeah, this was when they were like 18 years old.
Biodome?
Stop it. It's not a kid's movie, and stop mentioning Biodome. That's it.
It's a kid's movie. I watched.
It's not centered around kids.
It's it promotes a good clean environmental living for everyone.
Purple sticky punch.
I'm gonna go
fruit at the bottom, waiting to be stirred.
If this is a, Russell, how'd you get a job? Fucking President Clinton. You had sex with Bill Clinton?
So I am looking at IMDb right now, and it's giving me like these all great like kids movies around this time. There is a movie with Preston Waters and Bob Saget called Father and Scout.
Sure.
I'll just throw that out there. Never heard of it.
How about this? Man of the Year, or no, Man of the House with Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Chevy Chase.
That was a good one. Saw that in theaters.
Another great divorce movie.
That would be Mount Rushmore for me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Like, it made you want to become a Native American for no reason.
It made me want to pretend I was a Native American.
Yeah. Like, it made it cool.
Jungle to Jungle?
Phil, so I saw Jungle to Jungle for the first time with Lynn Mapleview earlier this year. It is so bad. It is really bad. The ending of that movie is so ridiculous. Like, all of those guys should have just, like, died. Like, they beat up, like, three big-time gangsters. Like, I'm sorry, it doesn't... Martin Short is not beating up three big-time gangsters.
Martin Short and an Aborigines kid.
Martin Short isn't beating up anybody. Mount Rushmore for me. I'm going to bring one up that I haven't heard from you guys yet. Karate Kid.
Ooh.
That is a great one. But time frame wise, because that was more like mid to late 80s.
Yeah. I would still fit it in that area, though. In
that was more like realm. The next Karate Kid time frame.
Mrs. Doubtfire is going to be in there for me. Sandlot, and Nightmare Before Christmas.
I could never get into that movie.
It's not a live action, but I love that movie.
The music's good. I mean, if I had to go with a Mount Rushmore, Little Giants, Rookie of the Year, Heavyweights, D2.
Mm.
D2's goated.
Yeah. I think Sandlot and D2 and maybe Heavyweights are in for almost all of us. Maybe not CBP, though.
Probably.
If I had to get rid of Nightmare Before Christmas because it isn't live action, I would probably... I don't know. I'm stuck between Home Alone and...
Could you put Space Jam in there?
I did. I brought up Space Jam, but it's not in there. No.
Mm. Casper?
Casper's a good one.
Love that movie. No, all right.
Casper's a good one. I like Casper.
Fly Away Home.
Devin Sawa is just killing the game over those few years. Little Giants, Casper, Wild America.
Yeah. It would have to be either Home Alone, Little Giants, or Homeward Bound.
Adam's Family.
Oh, Adam's. Wow, Adam's Family Values might be for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like 1990.
Don't ever say Edward Scissorhands. That movie still just freaks me out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Last of the Mohicans.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Indian in the Cupboard.
Totally a kids movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
when they burn that guy alive at the end. Yeah, that was totally when I cheered as a 7-year-old.
I think my favorite is when Magua ripped out Greyhair's heart and then just showed it to him, and then he just walked away. Like, fuck Magua. I hate that guy. Piece of shit.
Oh, wait. What about Little Rascals? Did we bring up Little Rascals?
I was never a huge Little Rascals guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a core memory with that movie, so that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
Kind of.
Breakfast Club.
That's 80s.
And that,
is that 80s?
Yeah, it was. But that's more like teenage angst movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
That's a good point.
Like 16 Candles-ish.
Sound like you have peanut butter stuck at the roof of your mouth.
But like First Kid, Richie Rich. Richie Rich could be.
I watched First Kid not too long ago. And Houseguest. Houseguest is good.
Royal Mill. So I watched that is probably my favorite Sinbad movie. And then I watched it like 2 or 3 years ago and my wife fell asleep on the couch and I'm like, this is just not as good as I remembered it. It just fell a little flat for me.
They just drew on her face.
I did something else to her face.
Because it's a different reality.
I know the 90s was like the age of the bulls, and I remember the kid in that movie,
yes,
who I think was Squints actually in San.
Yeah, Squints Galadoris. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he was like always decked out in the ultimate 90s gear in every movie he was in.
Yeah,
always had the back.
No, he did have a Jordan jersey on. Yeah.
What about
the Mean Green?
Air Bud.
Oh, yeah.
You mean the Big Green? Mother.
Big Green, yeah.
That movie was terrible.
Yeah,
I hated that when I was a kid.
It was so terrible, it was good. And Steve Guttenberg was at his prime during that movie.
Blubber.
Oh, yeah. What's that movie with Ashley Olsen? It Takes Two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Guttenberg.
Kirstie Alley. Kirstie Alley, yeah.
A little bit of a guilty pleasure for me, that movie. I hate to say it.
I served with your uncle at the Guggenheim. Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is, but sure.
So, Phil, what are the categories you got? Anything else?
I got nothing. I'm tapped.
Do we need an item from the movie? Because I think this is a really good item movie.
I feel like we've been talking for 2 hours.
Okay.
But, all right, so let's end it on the
item. You almost have.
Okay.
Joshua's been cranking it out this whole time.
I was playing San Andreas on the iPad.
What item are you taking?
Wait, like the items that he had? What would I take?
Any item?
Anything.
That is tough.
Can we take the castle off the table? I feel like that's too... Easy.
I'm taking Kieran Duffy. That's what I'm taking from this movie. You guys can fight for the rest.
taking Shay's butt cheeks.
I think the limo.
Damn it.
Well, because limos like that don't exist anymore. Like, the limo business is just, it's party buses now.
Yeah.
Mark, I would get with the limos.
We got to bring back limos.
I would get chauffeured around that thing like a real boss. I would not care.
I can totally see Royal Mills popping out of that thing with like a Gucci suit on with some bling and a cigar just puffing it out of that.
Hey, shit, give me a kiss, baby.
And like a feathered hat.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Flat brim.
A little fedora with a feather out of it.
You'd be like, literally.
Stevie, what item are you taking? Or Joey?
I already said it. Karen Duffy. Shay, I'm doing it. I don't care. It's my item. She's mine. Okay. With enough money, I can buy that.
Wait, the $1 million. That's what I'm taking.
Yep. Girls don't like boys. They like cars and money.
Are you taking the limo or the $1 million?
$1 million, because then I'll buy the limo for way less and then have leftover.
Well, going off of what I just said, if I can't have the money, I'll take the cars. So I'll take the limo.
Also, hey, Quigley had a nice Jaguar, too.
Oh, that's true.
Well, until he ran the bike over.
Mm.
All right.
Now it's got a broken axle.
If all
yeah, the, I'll take the Jaguar.
Okay, perfect. I'll take Henry in the limo.
You'll take Henry.
Henry.
I'm taking Shane. He's taking Henry.
I got a best friend. What do you got?
$1 million
in F bud.
You got a 50-year-old lady who.
Yeah, she aged like milk, bro. I don't know if you've seen her lately, but.
Yeah. Well, Henry's dead. If we're talking about the real actor.
Well, fine. No comment.
Well, yeah. Close us out, Bowden.
All right. Well, we have been burning the midnight oil here, but I want to thank everybody for taking the time to enjoy this movie with us and sit through and let it wash over you. For all of us here within the tree fort, myself, Philip Bowden, Jojon, who's been quietly cranking the entire time, PVC, Joey Berries, and Royal Mills. You fine gentlemen, have a great evening. I love you all. I love you, the listener, and we will talk very, very soon. Stay tuned for the next Thursday conspiracy episode, and we'll talk to you then.
We'll go drink some juice. Peace.
Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.